We're going to go where no one dares to tread tonight. And let me just say up front that you might already be looking at this going, but I don't do social media. I don't do Facebook. I don't do any of that stuff. And that's okay, because the principles that we're talking about are no different. Wherever you are, whatever you are doing, the principles that we're discussing apply across the board. We're just going to be making the applications here to social media. And it's one of those things that, you know, 30 years ago, few of us would have thought much about. I mean, I remember, and I'm not that old, but I remember not even having email. And when I started preaching, we were still writing letters and sending them by regular post. And so things have changed quite a lot in the last 30 years. And we are forced to grapple with the realities that we live in today. And I've often thought about the various social media platforms. I don't get involved in that many of them, but some. And not because I look at it and think, oh, I just love this. As much as recognizing that there needs to be some good out there. And that in some ways it's like the Roman Forum of the day. You got to go where people are. Try to influence people to the best of your ability. I'm not saying by any stretch here that I've perfected that. But I have paid some attention to the online world. And it is easy for us to get wrapped up in it in a bad way if we're not very careful. But some good can come of it as well. But I want to begin by just looking at some passages to help us gain a perspective really on what we're talking about. And again, these passages apply across the board regardless. I mean, these were written, in some of them, 3,000 years ago. When there was no such thing as online social media. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Just remind ourselves that the things that we spend time thinking about and doing get into our hearts. And it changes the way that we impact other people. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. If there is one thing I've seen online, it's that people will often very, very quickly vent their feelings about something without stopping to reflect and give it time. Is that the wise thing to do? A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor. Proverbs 12 and verse 16. It is a wise thing to do, in other words, to give it some time, to reflect. And you know, there's a lot out there that can make us angry. There's a lot out there that, you know, if you pay attention to the news very much, there is quite a bit out there that you can look at and go, I am just so angry. And what's my immediate response? Get online and post something about it. Is that the wisest thing to do? And bear in mind, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Well, again, that is no less true online than it is anywhere else. There are many ways in which someone can be pulled into something that they can regret later. Same in 1 Peter 2 and verse 12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. If we're trying to do something that has an impact on other people, and let's not fool ourselves, what we do online is going to have an impact on other people, just as what you do with your neighbor who's across the street, face-to-face activity, whatever it may be. What we want to convey to them is something that would allow them to recognize God's glory in us so that they can observe this and they ultimately can be impacted for what's right, what's good. Well, to that end, Jesus taught, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So in whatever activity that we are engaged in, and particularly that which other people are going to see, you're the light of the world. Are people seeing the light? Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Now we could just stop right there and recognize that anybody who pays attention to what happens online knows that there is a lot of complaining and grumbling and there's a lot of disputing. And it is so easy to fall right into that trap. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. I remember when I first signed on to Facebook years ago. And then I would look at statuses that would come online and you would see things of people complaining about something. I'm bored, they would say. So just something like that. I mean, think about what that would be like if you just walked around the streets, saw somebody that you knew and said, I'm bored. Why would we do that? And we tried to tell our kids, don't ever tell us you're bored. Because we will give you something to do. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. What area of life can you not apply this to, I guess I should ask, that you can look at in your life and say, well, you know, that applies normally. That applies when I'm talking to someone face to face, but you know, I can do anything online. And so here's what I'm trying to get at with this. But social media is no different from the way that we ought to be acting in any other realm. But the principles here apply everywhere, all the time, whether immersed in social media or not. So that's what I say. If you're thinking, well, I don't even do that. Well, that's fine, but you still have principles here. that apply. Because I know, and we all are aware of the fact, that prior to social media, no one ever fought, right? No one ever complained. No one ever disputed. No one ever bad-talked against somebody else. No one ever slandered another, right? Well, of course. But here's the problem. Venues like social media may make us feel that we can say more, show more, do more than what we might normally do. And the problem with it is it's right now. I can remember years ago having a significant problem with something that somebody taught. And I couldn't just get online and vent my feelings about that. I actually had to sit down and write a letter. And it took time. And by the time that I wrote it and posted it and so forth, sent it by post, that is, there were several days that went in there that gave me a chance to reflect and think about it. With social media, you just say it right now. Whatever you're thinking, boom, there it goes, right there, and everybody knows what we're thinking now. Is that the wise thing to do? It's trying to get us to step back and think about the kind of influences that we demonstrate, especially in a media-driven culture like this. And it's easy, again, easy to get wrapped up in something that you look back later and say, I wish that I hadn't involved myself in that. And have regrets that you have because you jumped right into something that you just knew you were going to regret later. And I'm guilty of that. But we need to step back and look at this. Think about it. And before we jump out there and post something or share something or whatever, that we step back and think it out and think it through and ask, is this something that would make the Lord happy? Is this something that glorifies God? And I would even think about it like this. You know, we used to think in terms of, with respect to Jesus being there with us, we might say, well, would I want to do this if Jesus were standing right there with me? Well, we might ask that about what we do online. Lord, would this post make you happy? Is this going to glorify you? So think about that in several different ways, and I'm just going to survey a few areas here that we might reflect on here. First would be the language we use, or the language that we share. You know, it's amazing. Some of the things that get shared by Christians that contain within them cuss words and things that you normally, you know, you wouldn't say, you wouldn't, but there they are. And now everybody gets to see it. Or maybe we might, again, speak in ways, write in ways that we wouldn't normally speak. And that can get us into some trouble. So by principle, Ephesians 5 tells us, verse 3, immorality and any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Now, that's not to say that you can never tell a joke. Humor is good. But this is the kind of talk, this is the kind of thing here that would be inappropriate for the child of God. There are some jokes, there are some things that you just don't need to share. That you just don't need to tell. And so again, would this be something you'd be, you know, happy giving to Jesus? Lord, let me tell you this joke. Lord, let me share this with you. What do you think? But it was Jesus himself who said, Matthew 12, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good. The evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Well, again, we might think, well, that's what we say. Well, that's true. But that incorporates any kind of communication that we would engage in. And so if we engage carelessly, what's the Lord going to think about that? Is he going to be happy with us? How about the pictures we show? And again, I think, well, what, you know, what activities does this show us being involved in? Do we show appropriate dress, for example? Or are we being modest? Is this fitting for those professing godliness? And think about that. I often think about it this way. Again, would I carry a picture around of something that is not appropriate for the child of God and go around and show people, hey, look at this picture? I just walk up to you and say, hey, you know, you're my friend. Look at this. We think, well, no, that's silly. But yet, we put it out there for the world to see. And we have to be careful about that. And, you know, parents have to be careful about the kinds of things that they post about their children. And to be honest, there have been some posts that have been put out there with kids that you think, well, maybe that's cute. But at the same time, it may be quite embarrassing and think, well, what are they going to think years from now when they know that this is out there somewhere? Be careful about that. What are we showing to the world that this is what we do? This is what we engage in. These are the activities that we're involved in. Or maybe the topics that we discuss. Again, are they appropriate for Christians? Do they show an undue obsession with worldly ideas and desires? Do they show that we think more about worldly matters more than spiritual matters? That if on the scale of things, what I'm posting demonstrates a sense of worldliness far more than it's showing that I'm interested in God. What's that saying about me? Now, I'm not saying there's some kind of magical percentage formula here. It's got to be, you know, 75-25, or that's not what I'm getting at. But when we're just constantly putting a flow of things out there that are not really anything related to our being Christians, we have to ask at some point, is this demonstrating what we really are obsessed with? What we're really thinking more about? And, you know, you could apply this to some of the political discussions that get out there. I'm not saying that Christians can't be involved politically or anything of that nature. But I want to tell you, if ever there's something that has been divisive and created a lot of ugly discussion among Christians, it's that. And at some point we have to ask ourselves, is that really what we want to do? If I invited you into my home, and for the next 2 hours we engaged in a back and forth with a big debate about something where we begin to call into question each other's integrity and each other's devotion to Christ, and that kind of, is that the kind of thing that would be glorifying to Jesus? So we got to stop and think before we post, before we say it. Colossians 3, therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Does that not need to be a guiding principle for us in anything that we're doing? Doesn't have to be just online, it's anywhere. And then you can compare that to what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, 11 and 12. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. You realize that there are some things that just simply ought not to be on our radar, basically. I realize we might know things are out there, but there are just some things we don't need to poison our minds with. And we need to have wisdom about the way that we imbibe and then share things. And again, it's easy to get caught up. And there are even things that we might say, well, it says expose them. And so, yes, here is something that is really bad, really wrong. And yet, maybe the article that we just shared contains all kinds of details that we just don't need to be putting into our minds. Be careful about that. How about the attitudes that we display? Yeah, I mentioned that there are some things that, some discussions, that it becomes really easy to just kind of dig your heels in and get involved in a big back and forth. And of course, one of the problems with reading something online, and this is a problem with any kind of written interpretation, including even when we read the Bible, we have to be careful about this, because we don't always hear the intonation. We don't hear the way something might be said. And then it's easy for us to, maybe somebody says something in a way that we hear it in our heads as it being really sarcastic and snarky, as we say, rather than giving them the benefit of the doubt and saying, well, maybe they meant that this way, and I'll assume the best unless they prove otherwise. But as far as my attitude is concerned, what am I going to do? Well, here again needs to be the guiding principle. Colossians 3 and verse 12, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. If everybody entered a discussion, any kind of discussion, with this firmly planted in our minds and hearts, how do you think that would go? How would we treat each other then? But somehow, for some reason, We get online, and that goes out the window. I can be mean, I can be ugly about it. Is that really honoring our Lord? So what attitudes are we displaying? Or even the causes that we might support. And again, there are legitimate causes to support. No doubt about that. There are good things. There are causes that are worthy of individual donation. And that's fine. But what if my support of something demonstrates that I'm not really doing it with the Lord in mind? And so here's the guiding principle. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, the food, clothing, shelter, all those things will be added to you. But here's the principle. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That whatever else I might personally like or think is a good cause or whatever, what I need to do is seek first God's kingdom and then let that be what flows out of the choices I make about what I share and post. Which then brings me to this point. The things that we like and share. You know, if you're familiar, of course, with something like Facebook, you know that the like button just says, you know, I like this. And it's kind of vague. I mean, that can just be a recognition that, you know, somebody said something or posted something and you say, well, that, you know, I recognize that. I don't necessarily agree with it maybe, but that's part of the problem with it. The ambiguity of that, which may in fact be showing that we're liking things that we probably ought not to like. You think about pages, pictures, links, statuses, whatever may be there. And how easy it is to do that. And here's the other thing, and I gotta, you know, I'll confess to you that this bothers me on myself. That as I scroll through and I see something that appears to me to be very questionable, and then I see the names of people attached to that like it, and I think, what are you doing? Then I think, no, I've got to give the benefit of the doubt. But at the same time, are we doing things that create the doubt to begin with? Got to be careful about that. And like I said, there are pages and things that include within them the kind of language that Christians ought not to be using. And yet, you know, we like it. Got to be careful. So just in general, we're applying this idea that we need to act in a way that glorifies God. Like every other area of life, we need to do that when we get online as well. So, what good can we do? Well, we can talk about Jesus and His Word. I have never seen a status that quotes the Lord or encourages faithfulness to the Lord that I thought, you know, I'm tired of that. I'm just going to block that person. But there have been other issues I've done that with. But not when you're talking about Jesus. Which means that we can build and edify. That's part of the point. Why do I want to subject myself to an online world that just tears me down constantly? In other words, if by going online, every time I do that, I come away feeling more depressed or feeling like I've just been hit over the head with a 2x4 or, you know, what? If that's what I'm coming away with, Why would I subject myself to that willingly? But there are some people that I seek out their statuses because I can almost guarantee it's going to build me up somehow. And I want to do that for people. Don't always do that successfully. But that's a goal. And in doing that, we can encourage thinking on things above, even when it involves our other activities. Now, you might say, well, I want to share, you know, here are some pictures of a family vacation that we took. Well, okay, great. People like to see that. Your family loves to see that. But in the process of that, you can also encourage the thinking on things that are above. We are engaged in wholesome activities. We're doing things that glorify God. We are so thankful to the Lord for the blessings that He's given us as a family. And in doing so, we can show support for truth. We can show support for godly people. And I will tell you that one of the great things that I have seen online is the ability to share the need for prayers. Something like Facebook is... it's an enigma in some ways. One post tells a really silly joke, and the next one shows somebody's dinner last night. And the next post, maybe somebody quotes a scripture. And the next post, somebody had a baby. And the next post is talking about someone who was just in a tragic accident. And that's a lot of emotion coming in at once. And I imagine we can show some research that would indicate that that kind of thing takes its toll. But it is good to tell somebody that you're praying for them. And that is certainly a benefit. And I would just say that I do believe we can have fun within the boundaries of what is right. You think about the ending of Ecclesiastes 11, where the preacher there is telling the youth to enjoy your youth. Go after what you love. Just understand that you'll be brought into account for it. You will give an account for the things that you do and the things that you know you're involved in. So have fun within the boundaries of what is right. And that is certainly true, again, whether it be at the ballpark or online. That's just like any other area of life. So my question is, are you using your influence to point people to God and His Word? And if you're not online, are you using your influence to point people to God and His Word? If you are you using it for the right reasons? And again, I just leave you with this question. Are you willing to share it with Jesus? Are you willing to sit down with Jesus and say, Jesus, let me share with you what I just shared online. What do you think about that? Is this glorifying to you? Or is it glorifying self? Well, I know there's a lot of statistics we can bring in, but I want to focus on the biblical principles. And just recognize that there is a world out here that we're involved in that we need to be thinking very seriously about how much we do for the Lord. And I'm not, you know, there's nothing here that says you have to be online. There's no directive here that you better get on. That's not the point. But if you are, then we would ask you to think seriously about the principles that we see in these passages and many, many more. Let's prepare to sing the song that was chosen. We encourage you to think about your relationship with Jesus. We encourage you to make a commitment that you will do what is right. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. I'm guilty. You're guilty. But thank God that He has made it possible for us to be reconciled to Him by His grace. And that now we make choices as to how we're going to try to point others in the direction of serving our Lord. And we pray that we make wise choices. Perhaps you need to obey the gospel tonight, repent of your sins, be buried with Christ in baptism to have your sins washed away. We want to help you do that. If we can, let us know while we stand and sing.